All right, before we kick off episode 36 of Dialed In, we're going to have a word about our sponsor, Law Chevy. We want to say thank you to the guy, Steve Law. Awesome guy. Family-owned sales and service center there in Boonville, Indiana. They also sell Buicks, all kinds of used vehicles as well, giving top dollar for trade-ins. And go see the guys up there. Talk to Dylan. He's the sales manager there at Law Chevy. Great guy. He'd do anything to help you out. They got a whole group of great salespeople that just want to help you have a good car buying experience and go down the road feeling happy. So tell them that Dialed In sent you. You know, we really appreciate that. It helps keep the wheels rolling on our show, and we really appreciate when we hear that. So tell them that Dialed In is the reason that you went to Law Chevy. Whenever you make that deal and you go home happy in a brand new Chevy or Buick, make sure that they know where you heard it. So we really appreciate them and want to say thanks again to Steve and all the guys there at Law Chevy.
Here we go, staging them up on the left-hand lane. The Throwdown Motorsports 65 Chevy 2, 626 on the dial, it's Zach Slump. On the right-hand side, the Icon Pistons Diamond Engine and Machine 74 Vega Wagon, 592 on the dial, it's Jake Hodge.
Episode 36 of Dialed In with Jake and Zach. And Zach, man, I'm sorry. You know, I've slacked on my portion of it between travel and life and kids. And you're obviously, you've got yours a little bit more together than mine. Hey, it's nice to be back.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm not at the celebrity status of Jake Hodge, the NHRA announcer. I understand. It was not a problem. Like I said to you, I said, well, it was kind of awkward talking to myself. And you said, welcome to the world of announcing. And that's, I get it, man. And it wasn't too terribly awkward. It was a good experience and it wasn't all that bad. And then we still had you for the interview. So all is well, man. But glad to have you back. Glad to have another voice to talk to on here for sure. So tell us about it, man. Tell us about everything that you had for the weekend up at Joliet.
Well, you see, when I went into Joliet, I'm thinking, okay, this is what happened in Houston. This is how I responded. This is how I should have responded. Yada, 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 yada. So I walked in Thursday morning, which thankfully we got the podcast recorded Wednesday night after the barber tried to take me on a date, and he was a he, and that was a whole experience I'll never forget. And my hair looked like a wet rat. It's one of those things where it's pretty cool to go into like different towns and you're like, oh, I'm going to find a barbershop, just walk in there. I did the same thing in Houston and I met a guy named Vic and he was cool. But did you get the same thing, a guy in Chicago and his name was Izzy. And I think he wanted to be Isabel. You know, it's okay. If that's you, that's you. It's cool. I'm not worried about that, but I'm not about that. You know, it's just one of those things. I'm completely happy where I'm at, you know. And so after that, we got the podcast episode interview with Dallas Glenn recorded. Little did I know, everything I learned in Houston was about to get turned upside down and shook until there was nothing left and just throw the bag away. Because I don't know why exactly, but the All-Stars put a crunch on everything. Even though we have it scheduled out all weekend long, everything turns into hurry up mode all weekend long. Hurry, 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 hurry. Like on Thursday, we were supposed to start at 8. And we were supposed to secure the track at 5:30. We started at 9:30 after the skies opened up and got it dry down the racetrack at 9:30. And we secured the gates at 4:30. So we hurried, hurried, hurried. But, you know, it's one of those things that you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know if an oil down is going to happen. You don't know if, you know, we're going to have a crash like we did Saturday night. It's just Houston was a much more laid back event. And I don't know if it was because I was on the learning curve. I was on my first one. I didn't really step back and look at it, but it was pretty hectic. And I mean, we ran Saturday night until almost 11:30 at night. And that's wild. And Friday, we did the same thing. We ran really late in the nitro category because we didn't start nitro until 5:30. And of course, they get 75 minutes or whatever it is in between rounds for each category. And, you know, so 5:30, they quit running pros. So it takes about an hour and a half to run all of them. So hour and a half, then you come back and do it all over again. And just keep going. And they had to push alcohol back because it started raining and whatnot. But, you know, it was cool. I mean, it was a lot more like work than Houston. I'm not complaining about it. I had a great time. As I said in the interview, I'm really, really thankful the L-Rods were there and the Strasswegs were there. And, you know, Houston for me was a whole lot different because I had friends there. Don't get me wrong. I've got friends in Houston. I had friends at that national, but I had friends at Joliet that made sure that I didn't go without anything. You know, in Houston, I kind of just picked up, you know, what I could, where I could, and you know, went about my business, went back to the hotel and went to bed. You know, work, sleep kind of thing. I ate really well. Like, I didn't eat much in Houston. I ate a whole lot of food in Joliet, and like, the Elrod crew was awesome. The Strasswade crew was awesome. You know, and it was cool. And I got to, I got to announce, obviously, the Jags All-Stars, which is awesome. But I got to announce somebody that I watched grow up in our racing community. I got to call the final round for that. For me, that was really cool. I was hoping I get to step in and do a little interview on the return road, but somebody had to turn it fourth hour red, put it dead zero, which we'll talk more about that here in a little bit. But this is my public apology. I'm sorry I wasn't around last week to help you out with the podcast. I really felt bad about it, and I'm like, man, I don't know what I can do or where I can go here. I mean, I almost sat in the rental car and hotspotted my phone, and then I realized I left my laptop at the hotel during the rain delay. So right. It's just one of those things, and, you know, it's my bad. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Please forgive me.
No, dude, you're forgiven. It's all good. No, don't worry about it. Yeah, no worries, Jake, at all. No apology necessary. I know you were super busy. That's a big deal. It's all good. I had a weekend off from the racetrack this weekend. You know, we were just hanging out. You know, I had the kids back at the house. It was my stepson Logan's 13th birthday. We now have two teenagers in our house. So please keep us in your thoughts. It was a good weekend. Went to Red Lobster. That's where the kid wanted to go for his birthday. He ate pretty much everything that they had, and chocolate cake. So that was a good time. So yeah, it was all good. Pretty quiet around here. And then fortunately, Mother Nature looks like it's going to force me to have two weekends off. Was looking forward to going racing somewhere this weekend. But as we record this on Wednesday evening, weather looks, well, crap for everywhere within a few hours anyway. So, but yeah, we'll just go do some maintenance, and that's what I'm planning on doing this weekend. Try to fix stuff, maybe actually improve a thing or two here and there, and then get ready to go. So it is all good.
Yeah. If you ask Kristen, you've got two teenagers and a few other small children, including yourself there, right?
Right. Oh yeah. No, I definitely qualify as one of the kids. That's for sure. No doubt. And, Kristen is the one that's really, it's just a bad deal. But with that, let's go into our results section. Okay, and here we go with the results section for this week's episode of Dialed In. First race that we're going to talk about is Route 66 NHRA Nationals, where Jake was up there announcing for NHRA. They're in Joliet, Illinois. In Top Alcohol Funny Car, the winner was Shane Westrup over Doug Gordon. And if you didn't see this, the replay of that race, it was interesting. Anyway, to say the least, a very good job there for Shane Westerfield. Just going to run through these. The Top Alcohol Dragster saw Chris Demke taking the win over Megan Meyer in the final round. Competition Eliminator, winner was Greg Camplain over Van Puckett. And in the Superstock class, saw Vic Penrod taking the win over who else but Justin Lamb in yet another final. Way to go, Vic Penrod, for taking out the Giant in the final round there. But looks like Justin kind of had a hand in that himself as he went red in the final. And that's going to take us to Stock Eliminator, where Randy Lynn Ship took the win. Jeff Lopez. And Jeff Lopez, you know, that name always pops up every now and then. That's awesome. He's a great guy. 007 in the final. Can't get the job done against Randy Lynn. So great job there for Randy Lynn Ship getting the win, as Jeff Lopez broke out just a little bit by 7,000. Super Gas, where Nathan Vrooman took the win over Devin Eisenhower, heavy hitter out of Division 3. Super Comp was following this Super Comp the entire weekend on Facebook. So it was Dave Dollum taking the win over Megan Strasswig in the final round. Megan's going to be our guest on the show. We're really excited to have her this week. She went 004 red in the final, dead zero. So came up just a little bit short, but awesome job making to the final round. And congrats to Dave Dollum and get it done in Super Comp. And that's going to take us to Top Dragster, where Jim Prevo took the win over Jeff Strick, making a final round appearance. And in the final round, Strick was, he was 11th out under, but his opponent was 12 total. So pretty tough there. His Jeff Prevo was 005 and dead 7 on a 633 in the final round. So made that pretty tough on Strick to get around there. And in Top Sportsman was Lester Johnson taking the win over Brandon. Brandon Baxter. Lester Johnson putting it 19 dead 3 in the final. That's pretty tough. Other lane was no slouch, 16 and 3 thou under. Okay, so that's going to take us to the all-star portion of the result. And we're going to start off with Comp Eliminator, where Frank Aragona Jr. took the win over Doug Dole. And in Stock Eliminator, Jeff Lopez getting the big win. So he was runner-up in the main event. And then in All-Stars, which you could argue actually is the main event, it takes the whole year to run that race. He was the winner over Jeff Herring. Jags All-Star Super Comp, Christopher Dodd, takes the win over Ray Miller III. Ray Miller III was 11 and one over with a 9. Christopher Dodd, 22 and dead 8. So really close final round there. Super Gas, John LaBoose Jr., taking a win over Iggy Boychesko. Man, that's a name I remember from when I was a kid running out east when my dad raced Super Gas in Division 1. Double breakout affair in the final. LaBoose puts it 9 thou under, 008 on the tree. Push Iggy out a little bit because he was 16 and went 88 with 4. So he was 16 thou under. Way to go, LaBoose, getting it done. Great guy. And for the All-Stars Super Stock, Jeff Donna taking the win over Aaron Stanfield. Aaron was 000 in the final and got beat. That's because Jeff was 005. He put it 8 thou under the dial, and Stanfield put it 200s under the dial trying to get there first. So great job by both drivers on the tree and Super Stock smacking that bottom bulb around. Okay, Top Alcohol Dragster All-Star saw Joey Severance taking a win over Rachel Meyer. Top Dragster All-Star winner Darian Bosch over Ed Open. Jags All-Stars Top Sportsman saw Kynon Dinkle take the win over Lester Johnson. The Lester having two final rounds up there at Joliet. Boy, Lester put it way under. He goes 38 on the 44. Kynon goes dead 7. So Lester had it a little bit hot there in the final. Okay, Super Street for the national event. Sorry, not the All-Stars. Don't know why that wasn't together with the other results. I apologize. Roger Sauter took the win over Wayne Christopher. The division winner was Division 4, taking their second in a row All-Stars victory. And with that, we're going to roll into a little bracket results. The drive for 7-5 down to Huntsville Dragway. They do the risky business tech card, so it's basically a 10K, because, I mean, who rolls in the gate thinking that they're not going to win, right? And Mike Lukey did just that on Saturday. One of our local legends from my area. I call him Lukey. I have called him since I was probably 10 years old. And he has won now $60,000 at Huntsville Dragway over the past few weeks. So nasty. Driving Steve Hoheimer's dragster. Just a combination that's been around for a long time and turning it to a very profitable combination. I'm not sure who the runner-up was. Sorry, I couldn't find it. But Tim Sparks was the winner on Sunday. He took the win over Danny Weaver in the final round. Danny made the trip up there Sunday, I saw. Jumped in a borrowed ride and took it to the final. Imagine that. And junior dragster Brandon Taylor's son swept the entire weekend, and he was a runner-up on Saturday and won Sunday. So sorry, I'm not sure who won on Saturday. Again, limited results were available for this race, but shout out to Brandon Taylor. Awesome job.
So joining us today is a former Chandler Motorsports track championship in the junior dragster ranks in 2009, a contender in Super Comp here this year in NHRA Lucas Oil Racing, and the most recent runner-up, yeah, we're interviewing a runner-up for once, of the Super Comp category in Joliet, Illinois, the Route 66 NHRA Nationals. But the way she did it and the way she lost is kind of a hell of a story. So Megan Strasweg or Bohannon or whatever we're going to call you today, how's it going?
I'm good. How are y'all doing?
Really good. And happy to have you here on Dialed In. Thank you for joining us, Megan. And if you would, kind of to start off, just kind of take us through your path in racing that's led you to this point.
Oh, gosh. I started running juniors when I was 8, kind of like every other kid did. I grew up at the racetrack with my mom and dad. Our home track was Chandler. Living in Evansville, we ran Chandler every weekend before dad really got started in Top Dragster. So I ran points there in juniors a lot. Had a couple championships. So then once dad got in the Top Dragster and I started getting older, I aged out at 16, started running a little bracket 69 Camaro that we called Smokey. Madison Elson and I, that's how we learned to drive a big car, was through them. So we learned in that car, and then I eventually started Super Comp 3 years ago, I think. And ever since then, I've ran a few Top Dragster races, but I've been stuck in Super Comp since then, and dad's been in Top Dragster.
And she says grew up at Chandler. Literally, I watched Megan grow up at Chandler, as I did as well, every single weekend. Good times back then. Hopefully, probably Chandler will never see that again. unfortunately, but we're lucky that we had a good racetrack so close to home.
Yeah.
So kind of just walk us back through here, because we had a, I mean, not we technically, you had a really not challenging weekend to say the least, not only with the All-Stars running and, you know, you kind of had a whole bunch of time between runs and Saturday, you really didn't run much at all after the morning session. And how do you stay focused, or how did you keep your composure throughout the weekend? Because I know one was trying to corral Tyler and his whatever he had going on there Saturday night. But, you know, you, from a tuner standpoint, from a driver standpoint, you know, that was a really challenging weekend, because not only did you have the Jegs All-Stars mixed in where you were waiting on that to run to completion, and then you ran earlier in the morning, but it also rained, also cooled off 10 degrees, and it also was the coolest of the whole weekend Sunday whenever you decided you were going to go to your first semifinal round in a national event at Supercomp. So how did you kind of just pull it together and, you know, kind of plug in where your parents came into play and where Tyler came into play, other than, you know, being a thorn in your side and probably peeing down his leg and you're trying to keep yourself calm and you got to keep him calm with you?
Yeah, it was a very long weekend. So never running on Sunday, I really didn't really know what to expect. So it kind of all went by fast until we got to Sunday, because then you wait and you wait and you wait and you wait to run the semis, because they always run two rounds of pros before you. So I think what helped was just having mom and dad there, and then obviously having Tyler there too. It was just, we watched a little bit, and then having Bo and Randy Lynn there too, we were hanging out with them a bunch. So I think just having everyone there was really nice, and it kind of helped me remain calm and stuff. That's honestly, that's probably one of the races that I've been the most like calm and focused. So that's nice.
So away from the racetrack, I know you're studying photojournalism at Western Kentucky, which is one of the best programs in the nation for that. Only reason I know that is because I spent one year of school at Western. But anyway, I was wondering, I mean, do you hope to tie that into drag racing somehow? Maybe work for like drag racing publication or?
Well, I'm actually, I just moved to Louisville, mm-hmm. and I just started at Jim Butner Auto, which is where Tyler works. They offered me a job in the finance department, back taking payments, and I really wasn't planning on moving this soon, but when they offered me it was kind of too good to be true, and I couldn't pass it up. So I'm still going to finish my degree, but I'm probably just going to do some photography on the side. Like tonight, I took I took Baby Dub's newborn pictures tonight. So I like to stay around stuff like that, like family pictures or senior pictures or stuff like that. So if the opportunity ever came up to ever tie it into racing, it would be something cool to do, but I am really not sure if I'd want to do it or not. It would depend like who the company or like the publication was. So
your final round of Super Comp, you were like 0.004 of a second away from a perfect run. I'm not sure if you knew that or not.
Yeah.
and the look on Tyler's face, I don't think that you've ever seen that look, because it looks like you're if you had a newborn, it looked like somebody had just kicked it right in the nads, because that's exactly what he looked like. His face was all puckered up, his hands were thrown in the air, and he beat everybody to the golf cart. Normally he's a straggler. How far down the road did he finally shut up about that?
God, like not even until we got home, honestly. everything that like we talked about and the car on the way home, like tied back to the final, like just somewhere somehow.
Four red, dead zero in your first national event final.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, we sit here and act like that's a bad thing, but there's probably 300 people that race Super Comp on a regular basis that would love to make it to the final round, let alone turn it red in the final round.
Yeah.
Do you think my pep talk had anything to do with that?
Oh, definitely. Like just sitting in the car, like running, I was literally about to pull the water box, and all of a sudden I see you just running, sprinting, like literally sprinting out of the car.
No, you got me messed up. I do not sprint. Unless there was like a donut dangling from your wing or something.
So what are some of the main things that you hope to accomplish in the sport?
Obviously winning a Wally soon. Hopefully this year. That was my first final ever, so I've never even been in a final of like a super pro or like a divisional before. So definitely making it to a final and hopefully winning one, and then just being able to make some laps and go some rounds. That's just normally my goal, because I've struggled for a few years, so it's obviously helping that I've been able to make more laps in Tyler's car, like whatever car that is down at the Bohannon's, or just bracket race on the weekends. So I can tell that that's bettering me.
I want to publicly apologize. My phone apparently does not want to go on silent. So I've turned it on silent, and it's been on silent since this thing started, but it keeps going right through the silent mode. So
imagine that. Jake is having some type of equipment issue.
Well, you know, you find out what you're good at, and you just excel at it, okay?
That's right.
If it was Megan, it'd be turning it red in final rounds and national events. And
exactly.
If it was Zach, it'd be being perfect and giving it back a thou. If it was me, it'd just be breaking things, not even making it to the finish line. But so give me this or that. So would you rather win a national event in Super Comp, or would you rather win a 10 grander, and why?
I think a national event in Super Comp, because that's what I've grown up around, and being in on Sunday was definitely a totally different feeling than like running the first round or running third round or whatever. It, like, the whole atmosphere changes once you get up to the starting line and everyone else is up there. Every class has their own lane, so everyone's just kind of up there in really somber, composed attitudes. So it's just a lot different. The atmosphere is really different, and the whole filling out the contingency clipboards and doing your interview with Joe Costello and all that, and being on the TV and stuff, it's just a whole different thing. I've really never been around like a big bracket race final, so I don't really know what all entails with all the different promoters and stuff, but I still think Super Comp national event would definitely be what I would want to do.
And to your point, you said that everybody's in the, you know, the somber focused attitude on Sunday morning, but you know, I went and talked to Alice after she turned it red in the semis, and you know, she flat out said it got to me. She said, I pulled through the tunnel and there were so many people, she'd never ever felt like that before. And she said that, you know, her heart was pounding through her chest. She said her adrenaline was high, and she said she knew when she staged it that she was in trouble. Did you ever have a feeling like that? Did you feel like that at all throughout the weekend? Or if you did, how did you control it?
I think rolling up to the lanes, because we were parked about 3 miles away from the lanes. So when they called us for the semis whenever they were pairing up the nitro cars for second round. So when I got in the car and started rolling to the lanes, Tyler was behind me on the scooter, and I was like, holy crap, we're going up for the semis. And then it got kind of worse going up for the final, but it all just kind of went by so fast that I didn't really have time to think about it. But she's right. Pulling under the tunnel and like looking at everyone that's in the stands, like that's there to watch, it's like totally different. Because, and apparently, like, in the final, the camera was right above me, and I never saw it, so I must have done a good job of tuning out, like, everything that was around me.
Yeah, you were definitely in the boom camera lane. I thought about that, and I thought, you know what, just let her fix it herself. She'll figure it out. But, I mean, to that point also, you know, y'all earned it. You know, you guys laid down some really good runs, and I think you were, what, 00, like, 5 out of 6 hits, right?
Yeah. I was,
you're like what, 17 in the semis or something maybe?
Yeah. I missed it third round. I had smined a third round and I missed it. I knew I did. I was really lucky that he went red, 'cause I probably would have been screwed, but I was 3, 3, 40, 11, 18, and 4 red.
Yeah. Did you roll any out before you turned it red?
No, I didn't. We were talking about it in the trailer and Dad's like, are you going to touch it? And I was like, I even thought about rolling some out, and I was like, no, I probably should leave it. And now I probably should have rolled about 5 or 6 in. So that's what I'll do next time.
So if you had to choose between Tyler Bohannon or Clutch, how hard of a choice would it be?
Oh, you know, it depends on like who is on my last nerve on that day or not. 'Cause Clutch is like he's on the chip. Like if you ever met Clutch, you know, like he's a psychopath, but mm-hmm. I don't know really. Like, it depends who's on my last nerve that day, or like who's got brownie points for the week or not.
to clear it up for the listeners, Clutch is their dog. And I was looking at on Megan's Facebook page trying to come up with questions before the interview, and there are dog memes and posts and videos
everywhere.
And there's 10 for every one picture of Tyler, for sure.
Yeah. That's me and Mom's thing, is like dogs on Facebook. It's all the time.
So you live obviously with Tyler in Louisville. Mm-hmm. So that means Tyler's better half, Brian's, right down the road.
Yeah.
How do you, how do you separate those two?
Well, they live about 45, 50 minutes away from us, so it's like a good time limit. But since they just had the baby, he's kind of has hands tied up, so we haven't seen him that much. But you can only take so much Brian and Tyler together. So that's usually when Sean and I just kind of go off to the side, do our own thing, and we'll just let them do whatever.
By the way, Brian's one of the few people that have ever declined a podcast interview. Just so you know, we haven't forgot.
Yeah, it's okay. We'll let B-Dub slide. So I also wanted to definitely throw in this question for this interview. I know some of them I don't because I keep getting answers that are like, well, I don't eat on race day. But I was hoping that this would be a better answer because I also saw a ton of food posts all over your Facebook. So what would you say is your favorite race day meal?
Oh gosh. Well, we went to breakfast Sunday morning before they started. We went to a little place in Chicago that was really good. But honestly, if Jake, you might know this. There's a lady at every national event. It's called the Giddy Piggy. It's a grilled cheese food truck. That's my race day food. Wow.
I think Sunday morning I missed your text message of my invite. I'm not sure.
Well, I'm sorry.
If you texted the wrong number.
You were probably still tied up with Reinhardt.
Oh, I know what it was. You texted me and asked me if I would like something to go. I just didn't get it back in time. Okay, that's cool. Yeah. Sunday mornings are pretty hectic around there. If you couldn't know.
Yeah.
But no, I did not know about the Giddy Piggy.
Oh,
but
it's amazing.
But a huge shout out to the Elrod crew because I ate really well all weekend long. And the only thing I bought was a $9 milkshake. So
a $9 milkshake.
Yeah, in the rain Saturday night. It started sprinkling a little bit. I'm like, oh, there's nobody over there. I'll run over there real quick. Well, you didn't realize they had to make the ice cream before they put the flavor in it and they put it in the blender. So it sprinkled a little bit. I paid him the $9 and I stood there for 30 minutes in the absolute downpour waiting on this milkshake to get done.
Was it worth $9?
Well, I bought Reinhardt one and I think it made him happy. So.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. But I had the best meatball sub of my entire life at the Elrod camp. And there, I almost ate the plate. You know, it was that good. So, yeah, big shout to the Elrod crew. But no, I didn't know anything about this Giddy Piggy thing. So if I ever,
yeah, it's
ever
pretty good. She, back, next national event you're at, you'll have to get one because it's worth it.
Well, hopefully I'll be racing in one of those because I probably won't get called back to talk on a microphone. So, obviously you have driven a few different cars, but the coolest story of the weekend, obviously, is going to be Bob Gullity and what your dad did for him.
Yeah.
Obviously, I keep saying obviously, and it's driving me crazy, and I'm doing it myself. But so Bob Gullity broke a crankshaft and first qualifier, top sportsman, yada, 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 yada. He's in the All-Stars all the way from Texas. Nobody had the right bore space engine and the right header pattern. And your dad's like, hey, dude, got a whole car. And Don O'Neill met Bob in Terre Haute. Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Because obviously, I said it again. So Don is with Diane at the hospital, mm-hmm. and Diane told him to take it all the way to Chicago and go. She'll be fine. Which
oh yeah, she totally was like, you need to leave like now. She's like, they would do anything for you. You need to go.
But Don's hard-headed, as we all know. He's not going to leave her for extended amount of time that he doesn't have to. But with that being said, Bob got to race. Yeah, he had problems. It was a different car. It happens. But what have you learned growing up in a racing family like yours? Just acts like that. You know, what is the biggest thing you've taken away from what your mom and your dad have taught you in the racing community?
That's a good one. Thank you. Stumped me finally. Probably just to always have open arms to anyone, like no matter what you've heard about them or anything like that, because if you help them, they'll help you. So just always keep a good head on your shoulders. And damn, that's a good one, Jake.
I do what I can. Obviously.
Just keep a good head on your shoulders and don't act like an idiot in front of people. Like, I've got a good list of sponsors that allow me to do this, so I just have to be smart in what I do, and it just it helps with I don't know, I'm just rambling now.
I mean, I'm just saying.
So when you're having a bad day, what do you do to make yourself feel better?
Probably look at dog videos on Facebook.
I figured it would be dog or food related.
Yeah, or just find someone to talk to. Normally it's something on Facebook though.
So give me your most memorable racetrack story, and then give me your most memorable after party.
God. Most memorable. Does it have to be the same race?
No. So, like, give me the one race that sticks with you, you know, over and over again, that maybe you had an awesome time at, or maybe, you know, you were doing really well and you fudged something up or hodged it up, as Zach would say. or just any good time at the racetrack you've had, and, you know, kind of just where it's at and what happened.
Probably last year, St. Louis Divisional. Tyler locked up the division, and me and Dad both had a really good weekend. But honestly, just Tyler locking, because he had Jeff Dona, and I can't remember what round it was, but we had a very slim chance of winning, and just seeing that win light come on, like, after seeing them work hard all season long, it was really rewarding. And just on top of that, Dad and I both had a really good weekend. So it just all together was really good. After party wise, I don't know. Like, it's got to be with Brian and Shauna, though, because, like, those are our people. But there was a couple bracket races we went to that I don't remember much of. But I think we went to Clay City one weekend, like, back when Tyler and I first got back together, and it was just a really... I think Shauna did really good, and Brian and Tyler were doubling and did really good. And I think I just crewed and drank all weekend, so that was nice. But I think that would go down as best after party, and then St. Louis is most memorable weekend of last year.
So on a scale of 1 to 10, how strict were your parents?
Before college, it was like definitely like a 9 or a 10. But once I went away to college, they kind of just thought, I guess they just thought I was a lost cause or something, and like all the rules just went out the window. I mean, Zach, you know, like at Chandler, how many times I got yelled at for doing just stupid stuff.
Me too.
Yeah, we were the always
same racetrack.
Yeah.
Jake was reprimanded lots of times.
Oh man. I can't wait to go back there one day. I might buy a house there when they doze the place over. Whatever they're gonna end up doing with it, which sucks, but
yeah.
that's another topic for another day. So you grew up in a racing family that you had lots of father figures, you know, between your dad and Mark and Don and all of them. If you had to pick one of them to take on a cruise for a whole week, who would it be?
Oh, God.
If you had to be stuck with one person for a week, not even on a cruise, person? I should say, on an island with you, and you could pick your dad, Mark, or Don O'Neill.
Well, definitely not Don. Honestly, I'd probably pick Mark, because I know he'd leave me alone leave me alone and be for the entire weekend, and we'd do our own thing separately.
Mark would be like, I'm going to be on this side of the island napping. You'd see you later.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're dying. Don would have the whole place up in like a full civilization with clean water and food and
oh yeah, for
tents
sure.
And, you know, over there doing push-ups and whatnot. But,
yeah.
And sure. Your dad would just be freaking out.
Yeah, just the whole time.
All right, so Megan, if you have a list of people, sponsors you'd like to thank while you're on the show, you know, now would be the time.
Yeah, definitely a list of people, my mom and my dad for everything they've taught me, and the list just goes on. That's how I got started racing, and they pushed me to do the best I can be. Don and Diane, Mark and Deidre, those four are our team, and we've really missed Don and Diane this year, but we're hoping that her health gets a little better, so they'll be on the road. Hopefully they'll be in Bristol with us in a couple weeks. The Bohannon family, they're literally my second family. They've done everything under the sun they can for me, whether it be giving me a place to sleep on the weekends at the racetrack, or giving me a car to run whenever I don't have anything else to do. Sponsor wise, definitely Cool Shirt. They took me under their wing about 2-3 years ago, and they just believed in me, so it's really helped my racing program. Mickey Thompson, Simpson Race Products, NGK Spark Plugs, Canon Filters, VP Racing Fuels, AFCO, and Oakley, because they've built literally the most badass engine I could ever have in my car, and I'll probably never switch. And ATM Innovation, those two, engine and carburetor, have really been a good thing for me. Ever since we switched over to about my 632 and the new carburetor, it's been a really good setup in Super Comp, so it's really helped me throughout the years.
So Tyler poked some fun at me on Facebook the other day. So you and this, you like to kick back and have a good time and have a few drinks when you're not racing, you know, like we all do. If Tyler and I started a race team, which one of us would get hurt first?
Get hurt?
Yep.
Like in a race car or like out of a race car?
Probably first, probably by you, because you'd be so annoyed you're over it.
That's true.
Because for those of you who don't know, Tyler is also very, very hard on parts. He just doesn't get as much publicity for it.
Yeah.
I don't know how he bent the strut. I don't even want to know. But
I think it happened on the way home.
Yeah. Well, that's your story and you're sticking to it. That's cool. But Tyler he posted a pile of parts all stacked in one. Cute little pile. I mean, don't get me wrong. He's got some catching up to do. And he said, Jake Hodge, what do you think about starting a race team? I thought, whew, you know, anybody that sponsors us is literally giving away the company. You know, it's
they're like, wasting money.
Well, I'm not sure about that. We're going to put it in a winter circle somewhere, but I'm not sure if we'll drive it there or tow it there is the thing. And, you know, obviously Tyler has been known to slide a few cars on the top.
Yes.
You know, it happens. I'm sure his dad will never, ever, ever let him live it down. But what would be the first thing to go wrong? Do you think we'd get out of the driveway first?
Probably not. What you'd end up getting the trailer stuck like in a ditch or something, probably.
You laugh about that, but I literally got my trailer stuck like a week ago. Oh, man. So if you could stage up against anybody you've ever looked up to in the final round of a Super Comp National anywhere, who would it be? Like, who's that one person that just brings the best driver out in you and you want to beat him every time, other than Tyler, because it's rhetorical. You can do that with your eyes closed.
Probably Ray Miller, because I ran him last year at Bristol and I smacked him. Like, I can definitely say I did. And I know Allison did too before to get to the,
the semis. She put one down on him.
Oh, yeah. Like, we were in the staging lanes and I looked, like, he walked up because I was like, oh, I wonder who she has. And he walked up to her and I looked at dad and I said, oh, she's going to lay down a lap on him. And she did. I knew she was going to.
And you know, that's what I said. And she was like, whenever she was talking about pulling under the tower and it got to her, and I said, you ran probably what's going to go down as one of the best sportsman racers in history.
Oh, yeah.
And you smacked him around like a rag doll. Like, yeah. What do you mean you were nervous pulling up for the semifinals? You know, that should have been just in another notch in the belt. Not saying that you sucked, because you don't, but you ran through the best to get there, just like you did. Just go up there and do your thing, which I'm saying this because I've, you know, obviously never raced Super Comp 90 anything, national event anything. But, you know, I just told her, I said, you know, you already did it. You just got to do it again.
Yeah. It's like Randy Lynn told me on Sunday. She's like, the hardest part's getting to Sunday. Now it's the easy part.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I make it to Sunday every time I'm working one of those. Perfect. 2 for 2. Haven't fired me yet. So what is the most challenging part of your racing program? I know that on the outside, as we all do and we all know, it looks like cherries and berries, but it's not. I know you work full-time, you do, you know, clean up after Tyler and do his dishes and his laundry and make him make the bed and stuff like that, but what is the most challenging part of your racing program that you really didn't realize until you started doing it?
Honestly, I really, past two and a half, three years, I've really struggled with pro tree. I about quit a few times because I just, no matter what I did, I just couldn't do it. A practice tree wouldn't help me, nothing. So it's like dad asked Chicago, he's like, that tree's been 60 foot in front of you for 3 years. What made you decide to hit it now? I was like, I don't know. I was like, something really just came across me this weekend and like, it just was easy. But I mean, it's never going to be easy. You still gotta try with it. But I think I definitely gained some more confidence this weekend, which really helped me. It'll help me throughout the whole season, just knowing that I was able to make it that far and I'm actually able to do it. But definitely the tree. It sounds kind of stupid, but everyone struggles with it. It just takes a little to get there.
That's interesting you said that, because I mean, I watched the pro, you know, on Fox and on FS1, and man, there was a lot of guys and girls in the pro ranks this week having trouble on the tree. I mean, Doug Coletta, of all people, who is just a rock. He's a rock. He's just like an immovable object every time on a starting line. You just know he's going to have a good light and he's going to leave first, and he red lit. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. Yeah, that happened. Jack Beckman did it too. I just read his Facebook post before we got on here.
Yeah, well, and JR was dead late when John threw it in deep.
I want to tell you something. When JR was dead late, he hit the gas and he held the car still.
Yeah, he double stepped it. We were watching and I heard it and I was like, huh.
For him not
I thought it was force at first.
Yeah, and John did that on purpose. And he got out of the car and he immediately felt bad about it.
And he
ran over and he said, "Hey, whatever you guys do, radio up to the tower. Tell him that I think JR is a true champion. He's one of the best drivers out here. And that's something I've got to do to get past somebody that's that good." And that's that's cool. But,
yeah.
You know, you saw Beckman do it. And Height was right behind him, and Hagen was right behind him, and Hagen hops out of the car at the big end, and he's like, "Wow, I almost did the same thing." He said, "I saw it happen, and I kept telling myself, don't let it happen, don't let it happen, don't let it happen." He said, "My brain said go, and I almost went," and he was dead late, and it's just crazy, you know it. And he had a huge performance advantage, but that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about Megan Strasweg running up to the Route 66 Nationals for the first final in your career and young career at that. But in your sponsorships, I did not hear American RV or DragshowForSale.com. I want to know where those are at and what Streetway Marketing. Is that right?
Yeah, Streetway. That's Don's thing. American RV, it still exists. We're never really there because we're gone so much. But we have mom and dad have really good employees that the business basically runs itself while we're gone. They take their laptops with them, so they're able to work and do some stuff during the downtime at the races. But all our employees that work there, it helps because it's just able to run itself. And if there's a problem, dad's always just a phone call away. And then Dragsters for Sale, it's still around. We don't really buy, sell, and trade anymore because that kind of burned out on dad a little. We still sell parts and all different kind of tires and fuel and all different kinds of stuff like that. But the whole wiring cars, selling them, kind of isn't a thing anymore. It's still around. We don't really have a website anymore, just the Facebook page. And then Streetway, that's Don's deal.
And I really miss the scumbag list. That so needs to make a comeback.
The what?
Scumbag list? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The list
that your dad had on the website.
People that hadn't paid.
And like Kenny Nowling was on there forever.
Oh yeah, after he finally paid.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, that's awesome. You know, and that's probably one of the coolest parts about your dad, because he will bend over backwards and do anything for you. But the minute you screw him, it's like, yeah, you've got now got this person, and that person pissed off at you. And oh, by the way, they got like a 21-year-old daughter that will cut your head off, just so you know. But also, while we're on that topic, a big thank you to you and your parents, because I don't know what morning it was. I was on the struggle bus. I think it was Thursday morning, and I had an American RV energy drink and two cups of coffee. And I don't know what was in the Starbucks coffee, but I think I was in like AFib or something. My heart rate was not good.
Yeah, those energy drinks was a company that was out of Evansville, and I don't remember what exactly happened. He got in trouble with some money or whatever and ended up going to jail. So dad and mom were just so obsessed with these energy drinks that they literally bought the recipe and had someone make them for them with our logo on them. There's about 50 cases of each flavor downstairs right now. And every time that Tyler and I are at the house, Tyler takes like 3 or 4 home with us because he likes them so much too.
Well, I didn't know there were 50 cases. I would have asked for more than one, but it's whatever. It's no thing. But in all reality, congratulations. I know I'm proud of you. I know Zach's proud of you, especially, you know, we grew up watching you race, and we raced with you and have been beaten by you on a bracket racing standpoint. But I knew it was coming. Zach knew it was coming. And I think we're just on the tip of the iceberg here.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much. It still really doesn't feel like it actually happened. It's like I've been telling everyone, it just was honestly a dream just to even make it to Sunday. But to even make it that far was really cool.
Does your back hurt?
Does my back hurt? No.
Yeah, because you've been carrying the driving load of that whole relationship so far.
Oh.
And we really need old Flip to start pulling his weight.
I know. I told him he has the curse of winning the division, and he's like, "That's not a thing." I'm like, "Yes, it is."
By the way, the guy that he told me that did not deserve to be in the All-Stars, just saying, would have went on to win it, but I think Tebow would have been all right too.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say anything else because I'm not going to call out any names or anything like that, but the guy that won stock and Jeg's All-Stars deserved it. And I think Tebow would have gave him a run for the money.
Yeah, totally.
Not that we're into saying any names or anything like that, but congratulations. Maybe we can get your dad to quit being 60, Mark to quit taking 2 seconds, and Don to come out to the racetrack with Diane, because obviously Don's going to be a wreck without Diane. So
yes, of course.
We need all that to happen. without her at the racetrack. You know, she obviously is the glue that holds that whole team together.
She is.
And we need that back soon. And congratulations. We'll see. Are you going to Topeka?
No, we're not going to Topeka. They don't have Top Rexter or Top Sportsman, so we're not going. But we're going to Bristol and we're going to Norwalk.
Well, it just saves your dad and Mark money, really.
I mean, yeah, we weren't planning on going to begin with, so we'll be out next week and the weekend after.
All right, well, good luck in Bristol, and I don't know if Zach's got anything else, but I'm proud of you. Congratulations.
Huge congrats. Thanks for joining us. We were following along all weekend. Awesome job, final round. I mean, you know, four red, it's right around the corner for you, Megan. I know you, that national event win is coming really soon for you, and thanks a lot for coming on the show. We really appreciate it.
Huh? What are you talking about, announcer?
For a guy that was talking about being no worse than 17 or 16 or 11 or whatever and going to turn it red, you know, we need to talk about this. You let a little strict get in your head.
Hey, let me tell you something. Justin Lamb turned it red this weekend, too. So if I can be on the same page as him, we're doing all right.
Hey, I tell you what, Justin Lamb just sneezed, okay?
Yeah, well, I did, too.
All right, well, I'm not going to say you're my hero, but you need to step it up a little bit here. I mean, how proud of you are Megan, though? I mean, how awesome is that?
I mean, it is. I'm just happy to see her, you know, finally, you know, after so much time, just being able to, you know, put all the, I mean, she's put a lot of work into this. She's spent a lot of time trying to make herself better, and I'm just glad to see it paying off. You know, this whole year, you know, all the runs she's been making, I mean, she's been making better runs and just having bad luck, but I'm glad to see them both kind of come together and pay off for her.
Also, one other thing, can you have her film you in the same reaction that you had when her red light came on? Because that needs to be seen publicly.
Well, I don't know. If you don't involve a microphone, I think it'd be okay for you.
Well, this is definitely a family-oriented podcast.
Yeah, well, we won't do a microphone.
All right. Well, you guys have a good night. I'm not sure if Dylan's cuddling you on the couch still or going home, but tell him we said hey, and have a good one. Have fun in Bristol, and we'll see you guys around. So the InMotion Solutions final round, Zach, this is kind of something that I've been tooling with, and I really don't want to, like, come out and talk about it, but I'm going to anyway because it's good material. So what if, and this is just completely hypothetical, and, you know, I'm talking about it now, so somebody will have the bright idea to promote it and do it later. What if there was a big money bracket race put on? This is all hypothetical because I know there's a whole bunch of, like, clauses, like, we'll get to that in a minute, but say you promoted a bracket race and you said, okay, if you have won a $10,000 race or more, you are not invited. And you could even stretch that to the point where you're saying if you won a points championship at your local racetrack or a 10K or more, you're not invited, because both of those are a huge accomplishment. Don't get me wrong there. But on the flip side, I know that, you know, the guys that win those races are some of your biggest supporters, yada, yada, yada. But what if, you know, what if you pulled the trigger on that and said, you know, we're going to have this drag race. And if we find out that you show up here and if you won a 10 grander or a local points championship in a major category, a super pro or sportsman, something like that, not like a index championship. We're not really worried about that because we don't have that around here. However, you know, what? Because there a lot of the local racers won't come out and race something like this and say, because of that reason, you have the professional bracket racers, quote unquote, that they don't want to come race against. And I have seen that so much, and I'm so tired of hearing about it. But if you put on a race, would they actually come?
Well, that's a very interesting concept, you know, and I know we were kicking around this. I've been thinking about it. You know, it's
which means you would not be invited, just so you know.
Well, right.
I could race those all day long. You, sir, out of here.
Well, and very fortunately so. I would take my no invite and I would come hang out, or I'd find another race to go to. But it's all good. I mean, I don't know. I think it's an interesting concept. I think it's a purely hypothetical, because I think it would be hard to pull off, you know, and all the, like, trying to verify who has won a 10 grander and when and all that different stuff would be you know, a crap show. But it's interesting, and I think that people would. I think you would get some guys that wouldn't come out that would support a race like that. But then I also think that there's enough parity in bracket racing that it's not necessary. You know, if I would say if, I don't know, I mean, not to toot my own horn too much, but to think that if I can go out there on a limited budget that I have with the limited resources and, you know, an old door car with ladder bars that runs, you know, 620s and 30s, and I can beat the guys with the dragster, with the grid, with the race pack, with the everything, you know, to tell them to be able to pre-program and all that stuff, you know, is just means that any that other people can do it too. You know, it's all about just having the right combination. It's not about having all of the tricks. And it also is a little bit of, it's a, you know, bracket racing is a combination of skill and luck. So, you know, you have your, just like I equated a lot to poker. It's very, very similar. You know, you have your lucky runs, just like you're going to have your lucky hands. And then you have your hands where you outskill your opponent. You have your runs where you outskilled your opponent. You know, where you have your runs where you had your 9-pack beating an 11-pack or, you know, or whatever. And anybody can be beat, you know, and at least, you know, that's the mindset I've always had. And that's what I've seen ring true over and over again is that, you know, even some of these big heavy hitters that you see going to these huge races all the time, they lose first round and buy back and lose second round too. It does happen. I've watched it. and that really always makes me just think, okay, well, then if that happens to them too, then it's okay if it happens to me every once in a while. And that's what helps me keep digging. I think that, you know, it would be interesting. And you would see some guys maybe that normally wouldn't come out, you know, some racers that normally wouldn't come out to a big money race, she would show up.
But the question is, would you get enough of those racers to counteract the racers that were no longer allowed?
Right. Well, I think if you look across the board, I mean, like I said, there's so much parity in bracket racing. There's a lot of racers out there that have won a 10K race or more. And that number is growing and growing and growing, you know, by the weekend, you know,
thanks.
Right now.
Thanks so, a lot.
Well, dude, it will happen and then we'll be on here talking about it before you know it.
Hey, I'll tell you what, I'm just saving up for the fall fling. That's it. Mm-hmm. Just so you know, I'm gonna let everybody win all earlier in the year. I'm just saving up for the fall fling, you know, just put that on, go ahead and chalk it down, write it in Sharpie, whatever you got to do. You guys can have the first half of the year. I'm going to take September 28th ish, give or take.
Yeah. But, that's a great plan.
But you know, and that's what the struggle is. I mean, everything, obviously, I'm promoting a race now. That's not a secret anymore. But you try to do something different. And like Britt has done, Britt has an awesome business model. He has an awesome, awesome thing he's doing. And he's got the Allstate race and he's got the Dream Team race. They are awesome. Don't get me wrong. Britt thinks outside the box. And you often wonder, you know, what's the next thing? What attracts people? And I honestly don't think you'll have enough cars to show up and make up for the people that have won. You can put any dollar amount on it. You could you could say a 50 and you'd lose 3 to 7 people, you know, honestly, depending on what part of the country you put it on at and what your race is actually attracted, how much it's attracting people. But it's one of those things that, A, you're either going to have to go on self-accountability or you have to dedicate one person to do research through however many tech cards roll in. And I've got a couple friends that are gonna work for me in this deal, and I know they're not gonna sit there and look through tech cards if it ever came to that. I'm not saying I'm gonna do a race that I'm not gonna invite anybody that wants to come, but I hear it so much. I heard it a lot when I was working at Dean Carnes's race. I heard it a lot when I was working in Texas. I heard it a lot when I was working at the NHRA rank. You know, even the, you know, like LaBoose won the All-Stars. LaBoose called his shot the night before the All-Stars. He was out in Super Gas already, and he said, just so you know, he said, whatever I messed up on today is not going to happen tomorrow in the All-Stars. And he won it. I mean, but that's a guy that, you know, you've got him and Anthony Bertozzi running and top dragster. A lot of guys just want to keep their junk in the trailer and save the wear and tear, you know.
Right.
But they can be beaten. They have been beat. And that's kind of what I've told everybody. You know, you're worried about these guys, but that's why they're beating you. They're beating you because you're worried about what they have done instead of what you are about to do. And that's just kind of where the question came in. You know, could you make up enough entries and people that want to sit at home and whine and cry and boohoo about it to make up for people that you will lose, like the Underwoods and the Williamses and the Slumps and everybody that you've got to kick out of there? That's right. One of those things, you know, and it's kind of self-accountability where you have to give somebody $100 reward if they can prove the racer on the property, you know, has won one of those races and they can prove it. But I'm not. I'm just saying, you know, that it would be a cool idea, but would it be an intelligent one? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Because some of your best racing personalities and your best racing people come from those groups. And a lot of the guys that are complaining about the guys that have won so much are the guys that kind of just drag you down and you find them at the bottom of the tower making complaints all the time.
Yeah. And I can see, I mean, you know, I've heard the same thing. The same guys win, or, you know, the same group of people win or whatever. I've heard it too. And, you know, and I've just always thought, you know, that's who I want to be. That's I want to be in that group, you know. And the only way to do it is to go to the races and race against them. And, you know, put up or shut up. Go up there and be 00 and dead on. And your wind light's probably going to come on. You know, everybody's human and they're probably going to have a good lap next to you. But if you know you can lay down a good lap too, then, you know, it's up to you to decide what's going to keep you, hold you back in this sport. And if you're the one sitting there on the couch saying, well,
parts
I don't want to, right. For Jake, it's parts. But anyway, I mean, you know, if you're the one sitting there at home and you're thinking, I don't want to go to these races because the same people win every time. Well, then I guess that's where you belong. But for me, you know, personally, that's the only place I want to be is I want to be racing against the best. So that way I know that I beat the best, and I also would like to win a lot of money. So that's why I love the big bracket race. Cause when you win, if you do win that 10K or more, actually profit, you can actually keep the wheels going for a little while longer. You can get some new stuff, you know, and everybody knows that this board ain't cheap. So
new parts that won't fail.
Right. That's right. Jake needs a warranty on everything, guarantee, and you would put a lot of companies out of business with that deal, I think. But interesting concept and very interesting conversation for our In Motion Solutions final round. You know, great idea to kick around, and really enjoyed this episode. It was great talking to Megan Strasswig, who a national event win is right around the corner, but her runner up appearance at Joliet was awesome. I mean, 4 red and dead zero in the final is nothing to hold your head down about at all. Really enjoyed this. Great to have Jake back, and certainly appreciate everybody liking, sharing, listening, downloading. Numbers are going up and up and up, and we certainly appreciate it. Hit me up for stickers, $10 and some change. I will ship them to you in the United States Postal Service. Canada is just a hair more than that, and I will get them up to you. We do not forget about our Canadian supporters as well. Shout out to Brandon Barker and everybody else up there. So thanks, everybody, for tuning in to episode 36. Kind of seems crazy even saying that, episode 36. So I'm glad that we're keeping this going, Jake. This has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, and you know, we were in a pretty good rhythm there in the wintertime because it's easy to do in the wintertime.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we'll get back in it. And we'll take care of this thing and knock it out early, like we tried to do originally. Because, you know, it's something that obviously nobody really realizes how much time it takes out of my schedule, your schedule, and Kristen's schedule. And you know, it's one of those things that if we're gonna do it, we got to do it. And I just think I need to make a little bit better effort. I know you're usually down to do it whenever, so it'll be back on a regular schedule soon, and we will do our best. It's really all we can do. It's a good time, and I even had somebody roll up to me at Joliet. I honestly don't have any idea who the guy is, and I'm sorry. I'm good with names and not faces. And he's like, oh, you've got a podcast, right? Yeah. He's like, you and Zach? I said, yeah. And he said, man, I listen to that every week. My favorite interview is, I think he said his favorite interview was, he said he just listened to Jake Howard on the way up.
Mm-hmm.
And he said his favorite interview was obviously Fincham, because who doesn't like Rodney Fincham? You know, that's obviously the unanimous answer, because Rodney is everything that we embody as bracket racers. And he does it with a budget that we really, if I feel like if you or I looked at that budget and said, holy cow, what am I doing here? No thanks, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just one of those things. And, you know, it's cool to get that notoriety. You know, I don't want to be known as, you know, the guy that has an announcing job with NHRA or the guy that has a podcast or whatever, but it's definitely cool to meet people through that. And That's probably the best part about it. I know you feel quite the same way, but it's definitely been a different experience, and we've learned a lot in 36 episodes, let me tell you that.
Yeah, for sure. It's been an awesome learning experience. So but yeah, with
awesome's the word you used for that.
Awesome
and, okay,
yeah, awesome. And sometimes, you know, I don't know, want to beat your head against the wall. But it's but at the same time, I mean, that's how you learn things, is by doing them. And now we've done 36 episodes of Dialed In. It's amazing. So, you know, you think back to just thinking when this was an idea, and bringing it to this point has just been awesome. So, you know, and thanks to all of our sponsors. You know, we want to thank Law Chevrolet and InMotion Solutions. You guys are awesome. Shout out to everybody heading up to the ACE event. Looks like you guys are going to have good weather this weekend up in Ohio, so we'll definitely have full coverage of that on episode 37.
Also, if we would have started this podcast whenever you first started talking to me about it, we'd be like 136 in,
just
so we're all clear. It's totally on me.
Well, it takes a while, you know, and things, people have an idea, and then for that to actually, for somebody to actually be like, hey, let's actually do this, you know, is a whole nother thing. So I'm certainly glad that I did, and it's been a lot of fun, and I've learned a lot. So everybody,
hold on a minute, one more thing.
Okay.
This would be a good time. I kind of talked to you about it a little bit. Don't be surprised if we have a week like we did last week, whenever I was in Chicago stuck, and we have a guest host. Just saying,
it could happen.
You know, it's not something we really want to happen if we can avoid it, but it's quite possible, just because it not only puts Zach in a bind on, you know, trying to get things done, and then putting his back against the wall and having to do it himself, because I felt like B-hole whenever he told me he did it by himself. but I think that, you know, I mean, even Zach gets busy also, and it happens, and it's part of life. And if we want to put it on somewhat of a schedule, we've got a few people in mind for backups, and, you know, it'll be a cool time just to, you know, a perspective, obviously, you know, where I stand and Zach stands on a lot of things, and another set of ears and eyes and voices that don't ever hurt. But Now you can close the episode. Sorry to ramble on a little bit longer.
It's all good. I enjoy the rambling, and thank to everybody for downloading, like I said, and make sure that you follow. That way you're the first one. You know, make it part of your favorites on whatever platform that you find Dialed In on. We certainly appreciate you all. And good luck to everybody this weekend. Stay safe and wherever you're heading, and good luck.
We will see you in the staging lane.